This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here we bring women of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hey guys, welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host. I'm really excited to be here today with my friend and neighbor, Amy Zaccaroli. You guys are really in for a treat. It's funny, I probably know more about Amy than a lot of people who know her really well know, just because she's my neighbor. Our houses look at one another across the street. So I know when she walks her dog, you know. I know when her kids are home from school or visiting and things like that. But there are so many things about her life that I don't know. And we've already preliminarily spoken this morning about the fact that we're probably going to talk about so many things that I've never heard today. So really excited to have this conversation, Amy. Thank you so much for being here with us. I just can't wait to hear more about what God has done in your life.
Thank you, Jessica. I'm excited for it too. So thanks for asking. And I'm excited to see how it unfolds.
I am too. Well, we always just kick off with learning, how did this all start? So you're a woman of faith and you have been walking with the Lord. And I'm just really curious, how did all of that start for you?
So grew up in a Christian household where we went to church every Sunday. We did all the church things. My parents had a deep faith. They were strong in their faith.
What part of the country?
It was here, right? I grew up in Springfield,
okay,
Virginia.
Northern Virginia.
I'm one of those weird natives.
Okay, yeah. we're in Northern Virginia, yeah. in the you know, suburbs. For anyone listening not in this area, we're right outside of D.C. in Northern Virginia, and that's where she and I both live.
Right, and so I was raised in the Lutheran church, and we went every Sunday. There was not going. It's what you did. My parents were active in the church. They taught Sunday school. I went, you know, did communion, confirmation, did the teenage retreat things, just did the things. Right.
Right.
I do remember when I was like, and I do remember like feeling, you know, the Spirit at a young age, like, you know, one night in bed praying and just feeling like this peace, you know, and going, okay, this is intriguing and this is real.
It's real.
It's real. Right.
And so would you say that's your childhood time frame or teenage time frame?
Yeah, I was like childhood. Like 10, 12.
Okay.
Yeah. And I remember at that time also, I had this question, like, why did Jesus have to die on a cross? It was just a question that I had and I couldn't get my mind around it.
Yeah. It didn't make sense at that time.
Yeah. And in the Lutheran church, we really don't celebrate the crucifixion. Mm-hmm. It's all about the empty cross and the resurrection and grace. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I kind of grew up and understood Christianity, was we have all this grace and
love and happiness.
Yeah, and we go out and we serve others. And, and that is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. But it's not a full picture.
Right.
Right. And so that was my childhood. And then I went off to college and, you know, was in a Christian fellowship and did all the things. Got married pretty early on after college, volunteered in the church, went to church, you know, did the things. But inside I was broken. Like I kind of lived this really shiny, pretty outside
life.
Like
a facade. Yeah.
But because I didn't understand why Jesus died on the cross, I didn't understand my sin.
Right.
So I just sort of like, just living kind of a broken life on the inside.
And as you're sharing that, what comes to my mind immediately is how many people live that way, right? I really believe, and it's kind of sad because you're not living that way. It's like living that way, you think that you're doing the right things. You're doing the things that are supposed to be good.
Absolutely.
And you're behaving in a way that is supposed to be a good way. And so why, there's a sense of, why am I not fulfilled? I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to be doing.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right. Mm. So
I get it.
Yeah. So on the outside, I was doing all those good things.
Right.
But on the inside, I was kind of living kind of like a secret life, or I was doing things I wasn't supposed to be doing.
Right.
But I was keeping that secret, you know.
And did you carry guilt?
Was it a sense?
Not yet.
Not yet. Not okay. Yet. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you were just like, I'm doing my thing, but, and I'm doing the good things over here and I'm doing these things over here and, but I'm not telling the people on the right what I'm doing on the left. Okay. I got
right,
it.
Right. Yeah. And not even telling God. Because
right, like, right.
What, you know,
yeah.
Or myself.
Only talk to God about this good stuff.
Yeah. Or myself, right? You know, just sort of, anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. So so then my first marriage ended in divorce when I was 27 or so years old, 28 years old. I had Nick, our first son. And then shortly after that, I met Alec, and he was seeking. He hadn't really grown up in the church, though he had done some church things. He hadn't really grown up in the church, and he was seeking. And so I remember him like asking questions when we were hiking, like, you know, what is this Christianity anyway? And there, people who follow the Lord, they're you know, dumb sheep, blind sheep. And something in me like festered.
Yeah. Okay. Like, bubbled up.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, what you're saying is not right, but I didn't know how to defend it.
Yeah.
And so we got married and we weren't really walking, but we were seeking, right? And he actually has his own coming to Jesus story.
Right, like, right, of
but,
course.
Well, that's his story.
Right.
And so for me, so then like we get married, we immediately have Sophie, like, you know, 9 months later. and then, you know, I'm pregnant with Hannah and I'm in my like mid 30s and my still going to the Lutheran church. Mm-hmm. And someone did volunteered to do a Bible study, and we hadn't really done a Bible study in our church before. Mm-hmm. And it was Breaking Free by Beth Moore.
Wow.
And I'd never.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, you know, and I'm reading the introduction to this book and she's talking about how she was, you know, sadly and unfortunately a victim of sexual abuse and how God had set her free. And I just remember going, well, but that's not my story. And what do I need to be set free from? Mm-hmm. So like, stupid me.
Yeah.
You know, like, what do I need to be set free from? Like, I didn't even know my own.
Yeah. Well, you say stupid me, but it's honest, right? Yeah. Like, it was honest for you at the time. You're like, I don't know what I need to be set free from,
right.
You know, because your eyes just hadn't been open to that yet.
I love that you just said that.
Yeah.
Because one of the very first assignments was to read Isaiah 61. And
in this Bible study?
In this Bible study.
Okay.
It's Isaiah 61. The Messiah's Jubilee.
Okay.
So
we're going to read it, guys.
We're going to read it.
It's happening.
My glasses.
Okay.
Sorry. I'm in the basement. I'm like 6 or 7 months pregnant in my Springfield house on this blue carpet reading this for the very first time in my Bible.
Okay.
The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from the darkness for the prisoners. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. And he goes on to say, comfort all who mourn and to, you know, bestow a crown of ashes instead of a crown of beauty instead of ashes. And then, you know, you will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of a splendor.
Mm.
And I'm telling you, it was like scales falling off my eyes. That's how I describe it.
Wow.
Like for the very first time in reading my Bible, I understood what this meant.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, my heart, like I was having
heart pounding.
Yep. I had a fire in my belly. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I have never seen this before. These are promises of Jesus that no one ever told me. Why am I in my mid 30s and I don't know this?
Right.
And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like it was just like like my eyes were open.
Yes.
For the very first time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's even, I know it might sound a little cheesy, but it's the eyes of your heart. Like there's, I'm sorry, it does sound cheesy, but it's
the song
true.
That's cheesy. I know. It's not the scripture that's cheesy.
I know. It's like your heart or your spirit begins to see something for the first time. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly there's a freedom. There's a deliverance that comes with that.
Definitely the freedom.
Yeah.
And that's what I felt for that first time. And then I was just like, oh my gosh, I want to know more. And I was just absorbing and absorbing and absorbing. And then a few years later, I was at a Bible study at the preschool where my kids went and we studied Hebrews. And so for the first time, I like, oh my gosh, now I know why Jesus had to die for our sins.
Oh yeah.
Like, why did Jesus have to die on a cross? Because of the blood, because of the sacrifice. And he's the perfect sacrifice. And that was when, that's my late 30s, hit me like, oh, my sin nailed him to the cross. Right. And then for the first time, I'm confronted with my own like sin and going, right, oh, this isn't just about grace.
It's about the fact that there's no way I will ever be good enough, and he makes a way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That is so great. Oh, I just love it. And I also love, because this is something I've also discovered later in my faith, is just the history, right? And the fact that you do, once you understand what was happening for how people were to seek forgiveness for sins, right, prior to, yeah, Jesus, yeah, then Jesus dying on the cross makes all the sense.
Right.
It's like, oh, now I understand why, right, he had to be the ultimate sacrifice. Mm-hmm. But if you don't know the history, right, of why was crucifixion, or why was the dying, you know, dying and shedding blood, yeah, why was that important? Right. Then it kind of just seems like an eerie, weird thing for a man to die and for us to be talking about his blood. Mm-hmm. Like,
it
you
is,
know,
right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But when you put it in context, historical, prophetic context, then suddenly you're, wow, look at what God, right, did for us. Right. It's amazing. Right. Okay. All right. Well, that's really amazing that he came and really met you on that blue carpet. In your, what did you say, in your basement?
Yeah,
or,
yeah, yeah, in this house in Kings Park, and I'm like out to here
with
pregnant,
seven months,
yeah,
pregnant, right?
Just like, yeah,
he,
like,
just met you there, and then you just had a thirst for him. Yeah. So you've been walking since then, really in a genuine faith relationship with him. So tell me a little bit, what have you learned about him since then?
Yeah, he's very personal. He meets you where you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe those people in church had told me and I just didn't know, I just wasn't ready. But I feel like he has been just really personal in showing up and showing me things in a really gentle but strong way. Does that, like,
yeah,
you know, not like hammering me on the head and saying, you know,
oh yeah,
you know, just, but gentle, like, course correction, you know, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But he's very personal. So he shows up in a personal way where I will hear and listen and see.
Yeah.
It's
he's not a generic God.
No.
He's very personal.
Yeah.
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 That's really cool. Anything else about who he is or what he's like that you feel like stands out to you after really getting to know him?
He's everything, you know,
yeah,
like, you
know, it's such a hard question,
yeah,
isn't it?
It really,
I know,
is.
It's like, wait, how do I pick one?
Like, I mean, I just like, we love to walk, yeah, and hike and, mm-hmm, you know, you see us walking all the time.
They walk all the time, guys. Like they're very avid walkers. I see them in the neighborhood.
And it's just like in his beauty, like that's where I experience him, you know, just, mm-hmm, how can you like not see him when you're looking at the trees and the sun and the paths and the, mm-hmm, just the beauty. Of everything. And he's so sovereign and he's so big, yet he's so personal.
Right. Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. Amazing. All right. So I'm sure that now that you've been walking for a while, you've got your kids, you know, your marriage and everything, that you have experienced him in different ways over these years. And I always like to find out if there's anything that someone has experienced where you were just like, oh my gosh, I can tell you right now, that was God. You know, maybe it was his presence, his power, something that happened in your life where you feel like without him, I don't know, just something that really got your attention that happened while you were in relationship with him. Do you have anything you'd like to share?
Yeah, sure. The most dramatic one I have is actually, it's the most dramatic and a little controversial probably. But it was at a season where I was exhausted, but it was kind of a superficial. It wasn't like such a hard time in my life, like where parents were dying or a kid was sick or anything. But mm-hmm. it was, so we were moving from our house in Kings Park. Our youngest child had been born. So she was like 10 months old. So I had four kids from like 11 to not even one. And we we're moving from
moving is hard to start with, much less very hard. Four kids.
These military people who do it, oh yeah, my gosh, they have yes. it down to a science. And we didn't. We'd been in that house for 8 years. We had all our kids there, mm-hmm. you know, and we were moving to
right.
Yeah, our house
current
now.
House,
yes.
Right.
And this was almost 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And Alec, God bless his soul, I mean, he was attorney at the time. He was a lawyer. So mm-hmm. he was like, his job provided this house for us. Like mm-hmm. it was a beautiful, amazing mm-hmm. gift, right?
Right.
But he had this trial out in California, and we so he was gone a lot. And I was basically doing this, like moving the little things from the house as much as we could so that we didn't have to pay for the, like, to them to move the whole thing
right.
all at once. So we right. didn't do this all at once move. It was over weeks and weeks and weeks. Mm-hmm. And it was exhausting. And I was exhausted and I was alone. And mm-hmm. I was going back and forth, you know, with the kids at school and preschool and then going to the storage unit and like, do, you know, it was just packing the minivan. Yeah,
right.
Packing the minivan. I had this toddler who was, she wasn't a toddler. She was 10 months old, but she was a nut. She was just a nut. She was just very
high
active,
energy.
Very active and her own, very stubborn, her own thing.
Yeah.
So I remember one night, it was like in May of 2006. I will never forget it. I was alone in the house with the kids. It was late at night. It was like 10 o'clock at night. The house wasn't really all that furnished either. So it was feeling pretty empty anyway, mm-hmm. but the beds were, maybe her crib was there, I don't know. But anyway, the kids were asleep, except for Rebecca. And I just had a long day and I was exhausted. Mm-hmm. And she was not having anything about going to bed.
Yeah.
And I just needed
her to go to sleep.
Yes. And I remember being on the nursery floor and I'm like literally pinning her down to get her in her PJs.
Yeah, just please let me put your PJs on you.
Yeah. And yeah. she's like squirming and wiggling yeah. and fighting me in every way. And I
yeah.
It's okay. I cried out, and it wasn't even crying out to God. I just cried out. But
right.
I said his name and mm-hmm. I said, "Oh my God, what am I going to do with this?" Mm-hmm. And not even her, just this, because yeah. I was just so
the
overwhelmed.
Moment, the yeah. circumstance, right?
Mm-hmm. And the second I got those words out, mm-hmm. literally an audible voice, mm-hmm. God's voice, filled the room. Mm-hmm. Like it was definitely a male, strong, deep voice mm-hmm. filled the room. Like I could hear it like bounce off the walls and the ceilings.
Wow.
Like it filled the room. Plus I heard it in my chest, like it was mm-hmm. inside of me mm-hmm. as well, like mm-hmm. it was so audible,
right?
And I know people think that's crazy, but
don't worry
about that. I think God works in yes. the ways that you need to hear it. And he said to me, "I chose you for her."
Mm.
And I was like, oh my gosh, like
yeah,
he, like I am supposed to be her mom,
right?
And she's supposed to be my daughter. Stop fighting.
Right.
And just be her parent and accept her and love her and stop fighting her.
Right.
And you can do this because I am equipping you for this.
Right.
Like I chose
you.
You're not alone.
Yeah.
And I just remember just like, it was just like such relief.
Right.
And I think I stopped fighting her and I think she stopped squiggling.
Right.
And I just remember like literally floating. Not
it, yeah, yeah.
It figuratively felt like floating down the hall.
Mm-hmm.
I was so joyful,
yes.
so exhilarated mm-hmm. that, oh, and then like praying more. Don't go away.
Yeah.
I really want to hear your voice
yeah,
again, you know,
right.
and praying and going, oh my gosh. So it transformed my like prayer life, but it also transformed my perspective. I was tired. I had
right.
four kids and I had done it over yes. a long period mm-hmm. of time and I was almost 40 and I was tired.
Right.
And he was saying, no, like,
yeah,
I've got you and
yeah.
you can do this.
Yeah.
And
this isn't a mistake.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. And that moment, it sounds to me just anchored you with him in a way that you hadn't had prior to that, where you, I would imagine in future moments when you were overwhelmed or when you were frustrated, that your heart would turn back to that moment and kind of cling to it. And I've heard you, I know you're with me. Mm-hmm. And it was a constant reassurance for you.
Absolutely. I love that word. That's so right. It anchored me. Mm-hmm. It anchored my faith. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, oh, okay, you're real and you talk to me.
Yeah.
And I'm
you
gonna
see
talk-
me. Yeah. This is not, yeah. I mean, that's amazing. For mm-hmm. And for him to give you that in a way that transformed you, I'm sure has also been just the wind in your faith sails over these years, as you've met other people in their moments of need, and you just know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is not an absent God. Mm-mm. And the things that we're doing in our lives, raising our children, moving, all of that, he's not like on some throne somewhere just passively observing. He is very much in the room with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the room.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's incredible. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
And I have my own experiences where the minute I start to think of them, I get weepy, but in a way that's because of my overwhelm.
Right.
You know, of who he is. Yeah. So
I don't think I've ever told that story without weeping.
Right.
Like I can't. And it's almost 20 years old.
Yes.
So yeah.
I understand. Yeah. He's so cool.
I know.
He is so cool. I know. So great. That's awesome. Is there anything else you want to share about anything else you've experienced with him over time? Mm-hmm. Not all things have to be the big audible, you know, sound in the room, which is so amazing that he gave that to you. But if there's anything else you want to share, we're happy to hear it.
Yeah. I mean, he just, you know, he does, like I've said before, he's so personal. And so he's shown up for me when I'm least expecting it, but when I need it the most. And it could be in just the words of a friend or the words of my husband or even a dream, you know,
like
Psalm 16:11 or yeah, you reveal the path of life to me. Mm. And he instructs me at night, you know, so even in dreams, he's shown up and said, this is the way you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
And, but even in like the way the sun comes through the trees, I was experiencing, my brother died 6 years ago, and I just remember sitting out on my back deck early in the morning, and he's not really a believer, but I don't know, mm-hmm. you know, who am I, right, mm-hmm. to say where he is, but mm-hmm. I was really struggling with that.
Mm-hmm.
And the sun had just come through the trees in a way that I had never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really literally just God saying, this is like 2 days after he had died, like literally God saying, I've got this. Mm-hmm. It's okay. You don't mm-hmm. need to wrestle with that question right now.
Yeah,
you know, I'm with you in your grief, and
that's my domain.
Yeah.
You stick to your domain. Yeah. I'll stick to my domain.
And so just little things like that.
I mean, yeah.
That sounds weird the way the sun comes through, but it was really just him reminding me.
Right.
You know, and sometimes even like in my morning time, like a Bible verse will come that I just, oh my gosh, I really needed that.
Yeah.
And it was like him tapping me on the shoulder going, I got you.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
And you can let go of that worry that you have right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think as Christians who are living in a active faith relationship with God, we can tend to maybe think that these moments or these small things are quote unquote not that big of a deal, mainly because we've gotten used to them, mm-hmm. because they honestly happen a lot whenever you're in an active, trustworthy mm-hmm. faith relationship with God. And, but one thing I always like to remember is how many people in the world have never experienced anything like that before.
Mm.
Not even the tap on the shoulder or the kind of spiritual moment while looking at the light coming through the trees, and that would either long for some sense of assurance, some sense of confidence that they're not alone. Some sense of confidence that God is with them and that God loves them, you know, that there is a God even, you know?
Yeah.
And so I want to encourage all of us. I do this too, but you know, I want to encourage all of us who do have these experiences that there's what a gift. I mean, what a gift, because there are so many people that don't even know what that is like.
Yeah.
And think about how beautiful it would be for them to have even just one time mm-hmm. to have that experience, mm-hmm. you know, and I feel so humbled to be experiencing him just so actively on a regular basis. It's like, wow, I read the Bible, boom, he's, you know, I feel like God just spoke to me, you know, or I talked to a neighbor and wow, God just intervened in my day. You know, there's just things like that where I can just see him working. Yeah. And I'm so thankful for that because I want more people to have that experience, basically, is what it comes down to.
Right.
You know, so. Well, that kind of leads us to just understanding. We're kind of talking about the fact that God's in all things and he is everything. He's in all things. Mm-hmm. It's just really hard to articulate him. But, and is there anything else you want to say just about being in relationship with him? Particularly because we use this terminology, I'm in a relationship with God. And what does that really mean? Right. What does that look like for Amy Zaccaroli? Right. What does relationship with God look like?
I mean, on a day-to-day basis, it's starting my day in the Word, right? Actually, even before I get out of bed, I'm already praying and I'm already acknowledging him.
So when you open your eyes in the morning, you start praying?
Yeah, and I might close them.
You know,
I might wake up and go, okay, I'm going to just, before I even get out of bed, I'm just going to talk to him and just thank you for the day. Mm-hmm. But then I get up and I do, you know, my Bible time. But sometimes, you know, in seasons of my life, that's been really rote and it's been just sort of dry. Mm-hmm. But that's me. That's my, I get distracted or whatever. But for, when I'm acknowledging him and remembering him throughout the day and I look and I think it's very important what he has talked about in the Old Testament all the time to the Israelites. Remember the signs and wonders that I've done. Mm-hmm. And just having that in my mind, like all the time, you know, like today, look what you've done, you know. Right. But like from the get-go, from even, you know, at my birth, you know, he was already providing and protecting. And so going back and going, Lord, this is how you provided and protected me all my life. Mm-hmm. These are the doors you have opened and these are the doors you closed. And just so remembering that and just keeping that in the forefront of my mind all the time, like you are actively working in my life. Mm-hmm. And so what do you want from me today? Mm-hmm. You know, and you're working in my kids' lives and I'm, you know, and praising and thanking him and just acknowledging him in everything.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, what would you want to say to somebody? I've often tried to keep in mind people who just genuinely are struggling to believe. What would you say to them?
Yeah. I think about the friends and family that I have that are not believers and what the struggles that they go through and what they see. And you know, some are like, well, God's rules, you know, don't really align with my, you know, beliefs or if there's a good God, why does the bad things happen? And, you know, and so, and, or, you know, that church stuff is so exclusive, you know? And so like, there's these barriers, right? But they're intellectual, I think.
Yeah.
But maybe there's a heart cry too. I think there's a heart cry in all of those. Mm-hmm. It's like, if he's real, then why this, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I would just encourage people who don't believe or aren't, you know, aren't there yet to just, God's a big God. Mm-hmm. Like he can get your questions.
He can handle your doubt.
And he can handle your anger about something or your criticism or your doubt or just your questions. Like, and so really just, and because he's so personal, like he's not distant and he might feel distant, but I know in my own life, he felt distant when I wasn't acknowledging him and turning to him. And so turn and just ask and ask him. And if you don't want to ask him, ask someone you trust or listen to a Tim Keller podcast, a sermon, you know, or something, you know, just go get, you know, just start to seek, because when you seek, when you knock on that door, he opens, he's waiting for you. He's waiting for you to just knock on the door and he's going to fling it wide open.
Yeah.
And accept with this amazing joy.
I love that. And when you said about people thinking that he's exclusive, I had a big eye-opening moment last year, actually. Mm-hmm. I just happened to be in this conversation with three or four people that were from all different types of religious origins, and they were talking about their journeys in the other religions and how, and each one of them had ended up finding Christianity. And I was so curious just to understand. And I even approached them afterwards and said, I want to know more. Like, tell me, did you ever have any regrets? You know, did you ever wonder if maybe that other religion was, could have been just as good as this one, you know? And every single one of them said to me, absolutely not. And here's the eye-opening moment. I was driving back to my house. I pulled up in my right in front of my garage, and I thought to myself, everyone's always talking about how exclusive Christianity is. Mm-hmm. But I'm realizing, based on what I just heard from all of these other people that are from other religions, that their religions were very exclusive. And Christianity is actually the religion that's the come one, come all, just as you are religion. This is the religion where you don't have to fulfill any requirement in order to be saved. I mean, your soul can be saved from eternal death with no requirements. Praise God. Like, what? There's no other religion that is as open and non-exclusive
and freeing
and liberating as that. So seek, find, come to the table. You are welcome. You're welcome at this table. I love it. Thank you for that. Well, thank you, Amy. This has been such a beautiful conversation. I'm so glad we got to chat about your journey, and I love to hear how God has worked in your life to redeem broken things and to meet you in the midst of your angst and your despair at times, and just meet you right there in such personal ways, in a way that has anchored you over the years and has now propelled you and your husband into ministry. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Jessica. It's been an honor and a privilege. So thanks.
Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited, because new episodes release every week.